When I first received the call from the radiologist who did the blind read, I recall what he said, which is, "Oh my God, tell me he didn't miss this."
Hey everyone, it's Gita, and I'm dropping this special episode a little early. I'll be back on the regular schedule next month, but today I want to highlight a new documentary about the medical malpractice system in the United States. It's called A World of Hurt: How Medical Malpractice Fails Everyone. And after a year of private screenings and winning a number of awards at film festivals, it was just released on PBS and now is open access for anyone to watch. It's short. It's only about 26 minutes long. But those 26 minutes pack a real punch. The film manages to take the watcher on a very emotional journey through three stories that demonstrate just how broken the malpractice system is. The first is a story of a plaintiff whose sister dies after a medical error.
I knew something awful had happened. Sorry.
The second is a different story of a physician whose life is completely decimated by litigation.
This is the videotape deposition of Dr. Matthew Seaman on March 26, 2019.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you shall give in these proceedings to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
You know, he no longer was defending himself. He felt rejected, ashamed, humiliated, and you name it. But he didn't know how else to feel better, so he just gave up.
And the third is the story of a couple whose baby girl dies in the hospital of undiagnosed meningitis after eye surgery.
I said to a nurse, something doesn't look right. And she said, you know what? Let me get the doctor. It was a resident and he came in. It was dark in the room. He didn't turn the lights on. He didn't examine her.
He brushed it off.
And he walked out.
But this couple seeks a non-traditional route for closure, and it shines a light on better and more humane ways to bring patients and doctors together in the wake of a catastrophic event. I do appear in the film, but I can't really take any credit for the film. The film was made by Dr. Mark Brady, a fellow emergency physician at Brown, who is also an Emmy-nominated documentary filmmaker, and also two medical students at Brown, Alex Homer and Vignesh Kasturi. The only credit I can take is that I met Alex and Vignesh when they were undergrads, taking a podcasting elective that I was teaching at the medical school, and I eventually connected them with Dr. Brady after he had expressed to me an interest in making a film about the medical malpractice system. Alex and Vignesh had already demonstrated amazing storytelling abilities with a podcast series exploring the doctor-patient relationship, and under the instruction of Dr. Brady, they did most of the legwork for the film, including the camera work and the interviewing. It was a few years until they got this thing the way they wanted it, working through COVID. And when I finally got to see it, well, I hadn't really known what to expect, and I was honestly blown away. And I think you will be too. So I have a link to this short documentary in the show notes. It's freely available on PBS apps and YouTube, and I really urge you to watch it. It will make you feel some things. And then I want you to share it with others. Share it with training programs or your professional societies or advocacy groups or lawmakers. Everyone, not just doctors. Everyone needs to see this. It's only 26 minutes, but it's going to leave an imprint for much longer than that. So today I have Dr. Mark Brady and med students Alex and Vignesh with me to talk about what it was like to make this film and what they are hoping the world takes away from it. Dr. Mark Brady, executive producer of this documentary, A World of Hurt, thank you so much for coming to talk to us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, we've got two fourth-year medical students at the Warren Alpert School of Medicine, Vignesh Kasturi.
Hi, thanks for having us.
And Alex Homer.
Thanks, great to be here.
Mark, I want to start with your background. Now, you have made multiple other documentaries as a physician filmmaker. You've been nominated for an Emmy for one of your previous works. But what was it that made you decide that you wanted to make a documentary about this topic? I think it's a tough topic to, I mean, I think you were targeting really lay people with this, not necessarily physicians, but it's a tough topic to bring to lay people. So what were you thinking when you said, you know what, I'm going to make a documentary about this topic?
Well, I think the only reason to make a documentary is because you have to have a conversation with society. And otherwise, if you're trying to convince a policymaker, you can write a paper or you can do a research study and get some numbers and try to convince a decision maker. But this is really a social solution to a problem that keeps all of us up at night. It's so taboo that in training, people dance around the topic for physicians, and everybody's going to get close to this at some point in their career as physicians. And the solution is just, you know, the patients in society have to make a decision about how they want this to play out. But the way that it currently plays out is horrible and devastating for everyone. And the more I'm around medicine, the more people I meet, the more I realize how many people have gone through this really traumatizing, horrific process. And that's something that you can't solve with research. It's something that you have to have a conversation about. And documentary is, I think, a really good way to start that conversation with a bigger audience.
So this is a short documentary. I think at the end, it's only 27 minutes. And I think the first time I saw it, now, my recollection is that we had a conversation about it. I do podcasting. I don't like video so much. And I offered you two medical students to work with that I had met because they had been in a podcasting elective that I was teaching at Brown. And that would be Alex and Viknesh, who I don't know if you guys had any video experience prior to this, or Mark, did you just teach them everything? Because it's pretty remarkable what you did.
Yeah, I think that, so for Viknesh and I, we came from, as you said, a podcasting background. And, you know, we both have, you know, worked as paid photographers in the past, but video was really new to us. And I think that that's where, you know, Dr. Brady was, you know, such a great mentor, because I think during the course of filming this documentary, he allowed us to do so much, you know, set up the equipment, learn how to use the equipment, do the lighting with really sort of this gentle mentorship on his part. And, you know, all those interviews, we got to conduct those interviews. We got to actually sit down across from those patients and have those conversations. And I think I really give credit to Dr. Brady for that, because he really coached us through that and gave us that opportunity.
I think that having you two as medical students who were, now you've been working on this for how many years?
4 years now, I think.
4 years. Okay. I mean, your whole medical school journey has been tied up in the making of this documentary. And so you're starting off as, you know, first or second year students sitting down with people, telling these really compelling stories, not just physicians talking about the pain of malpractice, but plaintiffs talking about the hurt that is incurred after medical error. I mean, it's really, really heady stuff. What do you think one of the biggest takeaways for you was in collecting these stories and really hearing them? You know, as doctors, we've got our lens about what all this means to us. But as medical students, as, you know, sort of fresh eyes and ears on this, what was one of the biggest things that you took away?
So I think one of the things for me, at least, and listening to the stories is, one, how broken the system is, right? We talk about in the documentary about how the system doesn't work for doctors, which we had heard from doing the podcast Back of the Chart, where we interviewed doctors and patients about what makes the art of medicine work and what really brought a lot of joy to them through these relationships. And what we kept on hearing was all the things outside of medicine that affected patient care. One of those things, of course, being the fear of medical malpractice. Through these stories, I think we heard a little bit more, not only about how medical malpractice doesn't work for doctors, but also how it doesn't work for patients. And I think it goes to show how much work we have to do in terms of making the system a little bit better.
How many people did you have to talk to in order to get these three stories over the course of 4 years? Like, how many times did you try to reach out to people to get them to talk?
It was definitely dozens of people. I'll say that. We had a lot of Zoom meetings with lawyers, patients, medical malpractice advocates, physicians. And, you know, it's really interesting how few people are willing to go on camera to talk about this. It's a big reason why this took so long to bring together, is because we were getting a rate of one story like every year. You know, eventually we just utilized connections and emailing and searching on the internet. to get connected with these people. And when someone was finally willing to talk, that's when, you know, sort of in the middle of semester for Vignesh and I, in between shifts for Dr. Brady, we just fly out in a weekend and interview them in their own home or in their office. So it was really difficult. There's a lot of legwork in the background that had to happen to make it possible.
That was one of the most surprising things making this. And I knew it's taboo. We know a lot of things are taboo. But our job in medicine, I'm an emergency doc. We talk about taboo stuff 100 times on every shift. We're getting into territory that's, you would never have a conversation with this with anybody except the close people in your life. And even then, you never would because they would never bring that up to you. We'd talk to people and they'd be happy to talk informally, not on the record or anything like that. And then we'd say, hey, is it okay if we, you know, schedule you to bring a camera up there and just say the same thing we just talked about on camera? I think they'd sleep on it and the lawyers would decide that, well, that's potentially not a good look for them. And then they would just kind of ghost us. And then they'd say, well, yeah, sure, I think I've got a plaintiff who would go on record. But with a lot of these things, once you've gone through a case, and if you were a plaintiff and you won the case, you sign a non-disclosure agreement. And then they'd realize like none of these people can actually go on camera. And that's why I think it's also hopefully an impactful thing when people see it, they're their own judges. But hopefully it's impactful because it's true and it's hard to get these things on camera. And we had to fly all around the country to get these stories. So hopefully that comes through that this stuff is real. It just took a very long time. I give a lot of credit to Alex and Vignesh for bird dogging all these stories because they were hard to get people willing to go on camera.
I give you so much credit. I mean, I knew that you were making this documentary. I had no idea what to expect. You know, played my role as sort of a subject expert and offered you my story to use. And I knew you were going around trying to interview people. And I didn't see it until it was pretty far along in the production process. And I cried my eyes out. I mean, I work in this topic all the time. And I was bawling. That's the message I hear from people over and over again. And it's unbelievable how in 27 minutes, these three stories get people to care so much. And so I've been getting email after email after email from people who've watched it and said, I was just so moved. I was crying. In any way, it doesn't seem pro-doctor. It doesn't seem pro-plaintiff. It just seems pro-human being. And it brings up this topic of the CRP, the Communication Resolution Program, which is something that some states are adopting. The Michigan model, I think, is something that maybe we can delve into some other time on this podcast. But why don't you guys briefly explain the Michigan model and just how that ties into the last story in the documentary?
So the Michigan model, or also known as Communication Resolution Programs, is this idea that the medical malpractice system is not a great way for us to identify and address systemic issues, especially, for example, in a hospital system that could have led to a bad outcome. And so what happens in the Michigan model is if there's a bad adverse event that's identified, the hospital will do its own internal review and say, hey, do we stand by this care? And if they do stand by this care, or even if they don't, they will invite the patient who was harmed and the representative, often a lawyer, to the medical center to discuss, hey, this is what happened. Either we stand by this care or we don't stand by this care. And this is what we want to do to make things better, whether that be compensation and or changing things in the hospital. And so when you think about why patients sue, right, it's obviously they want to know what happened. A lot of times, right, you know, people get sued. As you said, the carts circle the wagons and no one wants to talk about it because, you know, risk management says not to talk about it. People want to know what happened. So that's the first thing. Second, people want some compensation if they've been harmed, which the system addresses. And lastly, they want to make sure that this doesn't happen to anyone else. The care program allows people to understand that, hey, these are the things that we're going to change and allows that cycle to happen in a far more quick process than it would through the medical malpractice system, right? Like, you know, instead of waiting 8 years for this thing to go to court, we can sort of take an M&M and a more medical approach rather than a legal approach to addressing these issues.
Alex, you know, of these three stories, I mean, they're all tremendously moving stories. What was it like sitting and talking to these families? Was it really emotional for you? As a student going into medicine, hearing the pain of each of these families and then the possibility for redemption in the last story, like, what was that like for you as students who are now, you know, almost like anthropologists looking at it through a different lens? What was that like for you?
Yeah, I think so. Dr. Brady talks a lot about the use of film and specifically documentaries as a tool for mass empathy. And I think that that's a lot of the reason why we wanted to make this documentary, is because these stories are incredibly emotional and they are incredibly impactful. As I was sitting across from Santina and Reggie hearing their story, of course, I was struck by, you know, the emotions that came across, the tragedy that they had experienced, and the way that they were able to at least partly reach some reconciliation with the hospital. But at the same time, I also thought about how what an impact that this story would make. And the fact that, you know, their bravery in sharing this story with us on camera is going to evoke those same emotions. And I hope, and I've seen that it evoked those same emotions in the people who watch the film. In many ways, I think that, you know, sitting in that chair, listening to that story, I not only felt for them, but I also thought about how their bravery in sharing that story would hopefully make a difference in the future and prevent stories like that.
I was really struck. All the stories are moving. I was really struck. Use the word bravery. I was struck by their bravery and their ability to forgive. Talking about this topic, we tried to make it black and white, and it's not. It's very nuanced. I think that there are opportunities for us to step outside our normal, you know, shallower thinking about it and our fear and our reactivity. I invite people, what this has made me think about is how anybody can use, you know, whatever their gifts are to impact this problem. I like to podcast. I like to talk to people. I interview it. I feel like I've been, you know, ringing a bell, and, you know, I can coach people on an individual level. And then people reach out to me and say, well, what can we do in terms of policy change or in legislative changes? Or I know about things, but it's not my, I don't know, zone of genius, I guess. But I want people to do that work. But then you came along and said, you want to make this movie. And I think it really has the potential to open up this conversation so wide and get people to care in a way that, like, I didn't see coming. Anyone that listens to this or sees this, I would invite you, if you care about this topic, think about whatever your gifts are. Do you teach? Do you write? Are you really an advocate? Can you kind of get in legislatures? Are you a connector? Are you somebody who can show this film to someone in your state legislature? Do you have connections to senators? Do you have connections to people in professional societies? What can you do with the skills and the knowledge that you have to move the needle on this topic, to bring us to a more humane and just and ethical system? That's what I took out of it, like, not just in watching this, because I know this is a tough topic for people on all sides. I really invite you to think about, you know, what can you do? You know, share this, obviously. I'm going to put the link in the show notes. You'll be able to watch it on YouTube. There have been, by the way, this is not a financial investment for any of you. There's been no financial incentives. Nobody got paid to do this. You got some funding from different places, yeah?
Yeah, we've got a grant from the Rhode Island Medical Society for editing. We've got some support from our physician group, Brown Physicians Incorporated, for a little faculty development grant and to help with the editing. But besides that, we actually just paid our own way to fly and do the interviews. We went and shot everything ourselves, which was kind of like we're talking about before, a little bit about learning experience. And we just got a little boost from our colleagues to help just get the editing done. But yeah, this does not make money. It's given away for free. It's on PBS. The payback is just that people watch it and they feel moved. And maybe we can move the conversation forward a little bit. This is much more of a descriptive than a proscriptive product. There's lots of solutions, and any solution is going to be better than what we have.
I was just going to mention, in terms of funding, we started filming this as a passion project during the depths of COVID. I don't know if you remember, you were like our first interview, and we had like UMass, we were shooting on like these telephoto lenses so we could stay like 6 feet away.
I'm going to say this, you promised me that was just like a rough thing. You were like, we just need an idea of like what? And I was like, you're sure I'm going to get a chance to re-record this? You're like, yeah, absolutely. No.
You were just so great on camera, and those moments were just so moving that we're like, I don't know if we can reproduce it. Because I'm sure, you know, as like someone who does a lot of podcasts, oftentimes the first take is the most authentic emotionally and generally, even if it's not the most concise.
Yeah, well, I would have worn something different. But anyway.
But yeah, to your point, so we had no funding. I remember, because we saw this during undergrad, it was like our winter break of senior year, and I'm from Washington State. We got one of their storylines from Washington State, and so Alex flew back to my hometown, and then we got in the car, and we did a little road trip of Washington. I don't know how Dr. Brady trusted us, but he gave us like all of his equipment, so we showed up to the airport in my hometown with like these big boxes of camera equipment, put them in the car, and then we jetted off on a little road trip of Washington. So it was very much a passion project with like zero budget. And then only when we got to the edit were we able to get some very generous support from the Rhode Island Medical Society. And then when we got PBS acceptances, a couple other folks were also very generous to pitch in and get this project over the finish line.
Mark, I get the feeling that making a documentary is sort of like building a plane as you are flying it. Like, you don't know what you're going to find. And then you get these stories and bits and you show them to people. And, you know, in your world, it's usually doctors. Like, what do you think of this? How is this making you feel? How is this working? Tell us a little bit about that.
It's always interesting, the process of making a documentary, and I've had the opportunity to make a few of them, is getting feedback while you're in the process and trying to explain the process to people. One thing that's very interesting is doctors, when they see a cut of something, they immediately jump to trying to diagnose it and trying to get into the details. That's our natural inclination, is to diagnose and treat things. So one of the things creatively we had to do in this was to strip out all of the medical details that people might otherwise jump onto and immediately say, oh, I know what this case is. And they just jump ahead because that's the eager beaver kind of doctor mentality. They want to know what the answer is and what actually happened in this case and pin the tail on the diagnosis. So a lot of what we did with this was actually try to bring it down to its emotional core, because that's really what the story is about. It's about relationship. And every story needs a character and needs a problem. And in this, it's not a hero's journey or anything. It's really about you and your doctor. And doctor is from, you know, the Latin root to teach. And so what we want to get to with this is just to teach the patients and the doctors that this is the reason it's so devastating to be sued, is because we're so invested in our patients. And to have that turn on you is devastating. We talked about in the documentary, these are the best years of our lives that we put into medical education, and we go into huge debt so we can serve. And to have the system turn on you is devastating for the doctors. And for the patients, the problem is that the system is vicious. It's bad for the patients. As soon as they have a question, system clams up and they say, hey, we'll see you in court. And sometimes they just want to get some closure. And most of the time, nothing bad has happened, but they can't get answers. And it makes you look bad when the system and your doctor by proxy is not giving you answers to help you get that closure. The problem with the system is that it hurts the relationship. And the system is the legal solution of something that should really be a therapeutic relationship, that as soon as the specter of a suit or anybody says anything that sounds legal, the system clams up and it goes from being a therapeutic relationship to an antagonistic legal one. And it's just the system is the thing that kind of screws things up. The system sucks. And there's lots of different solutions, and we don't want to give a particular solution because anything's better than what we have kind of anywhere you go. But it's all about the relationship.
And I think I'll add on to Dr. Brady's point as well and say that, you know, Vignesh and I, where we came from was an undergrad podcast that explored the patient-physician relationship in a positive light. And so what we would do is that we would bring on physicians as well as their patients, and they would talk about the journey that they shared together. And I think that what struck us was how close those relationships form and how much those patients share an intimate part of their lives with their physician. And in many ways, our current medical malpractice system is completely antithetical to that environment that we try to build in the physician's office. And that these patients, something awful has happened to them, and they just want answers, but they can't get them. And I think that's something that you allude to, Dr. Pensa, in your lecture that's in our documentary. And that is just completely the opposite of what we're trying to build in a doctor-patient relationship, where people are sharing, you know, the intimate nature of, you know, the substances that they use, the sexual encounters that they have, the diseases that they feel that they are stigmatized for. And we greet them with open arms in the doctor's office. But that's just simply not true within the medical malpractice system.
No, I think there would be a lot to be gained on both sides of this if that relationship could continue through the hurt when something doesn't go right. And the feeling that your doctor just disappears when something bad happens, like they just ghosted you. I think it hurts when you place your trust in somebody and then when the worst thing happens, they're gone. I think that that's a terrible hurt. So I think addressing that is really important.
Thinking about your question earlier about what we learn as medical students, I think one of the big things is the fact that we don't get much education as medical students. And talking to residents and attendings, there's not much education out there. There's not a lot of resources that people are often familiar with. And so I think one of the things that plays into the feeling that a lot of physicians get when they're served or they are, you know, involved as part of a lawsuit is not knowing what to do. One of the hopes that we have just from the medical side is that in removing the taboo, we're working to mitigate against that taboo, also causes us to think a little bit more critically about when we start introducing this topic to trainees and how can we better prepare them, right? Because a lot of doctors, many doctors, regardless of whether they're good or bad, are going to get sued. So it makes sense for us to prepare trainees of all levels to face this.
I'm really in awe. I'm really in awe that you were able to do this in between MCATs and step exams and rotations. And it's pretty phenomenal. And obviously, Mark, you also work full time and you have like a million other things going on in your life. Also, I know. I'm so grateful. I'm really grateful for your storytelling abilities. And I like the term mass empathy. I really hope that people use this as a way to open up this conversation and keep it in the forefront. Like, let's get some momentum behind these things. I think that that would be tremendous. So anyway, congratulations to all of you. A World of Hurt. I'll put the link in the show notes. It's also on my website. And I can't wait to see where this goes.
Thank you so much for having us on. I really appreciate it.
Thanks much. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Dr. Pensa.
Okay, everybody, thanks so much for listening, and I will see you next month. In the meantime, the link to this film is in the show notes, and you can find it on PBS and YouTube. Please watch it. Please share it. The name again is A World of Hurt, How Medical Malpractice Fails Everyone.